Sky FM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line to talk about this, give us a little bit more context around this, is Ilanit Chernik. She's the digital coordinator and content editor at Stand With Us. A very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. It's you again.
It is absolutely awesome to speak to you. So first of all, I don't think we've spoken since you've taken this position as a digital coordinator and content editor at Stand With Us. Absolutely fantastic position, unbelievable organization, and all the best to you for this new role.
Thank you so much. Very exciting.
It is indeed. All right, so give us a bit of context here. How did this all come about? Where did it start from?
Well, it's been going on for a long time on Twitter. We've been seeing a situation where anti-Semitism has just become absolutely rife on Twitter. And it's not just Twitter. You know, we're seeing it on Facebook. We're seeing it on Instagram. And what ended up happening was over the weekend there was a rapper in the UK named Wally, and he, you know, went on this whole almost like 12-hour rant about Jews and conspiracy theories and inciting violence, and he was just kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. We've had over the last couple of weeks NFL players kind of, you know, making really disgusting remarks. We've had celebrities sharing Louis Farrakhan, you know, the Nation of Islam's leader, who's a vile anti-Semite. You know, we've had people like Madonna sharing his videos. We've had people like Chelsea Handler sharing his videos. We've had people like P. Diddy and Ice Cube making major anti-Semitic tropes. And it just got to a point where Jewish Twitter was like, enough is enough, and that's it. And the decision following what Wally did was there was a group from the UK, a group of actors and celebrities and academics, all who are Jewish, who decided that's it, we're coming together and we're starting this campaign. And it went absolutely viral, and it's now just really caught on, not with just Jews, but with Jewish allies, with people who identify with the Jews and who understand the prejudices and understand the issues. And I mean, it's not just that. I mean, just last week, the word Jews was trending, and it wasn't in a positive context. Yeah. The week before that, Jewish privilege was trending. Also, not in a positive context. Right. So we're just seeing this continuous anti-Semitism coming out, and Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, they're not, you know, they're being inactive. They're not doing anything about it. Wally, it took them ages to just ban his disgusting tweets and to ban him from the platform. And then within hours, he was back and he was carrying on.
And they certainly didn't ban all of his tweets. There's certainly some very dubious ones that have still remained on the site.
Banned for like, I mean, they did kick him off. Apparently they kicked him off for a couple of hours and then they let him back in.
Right. Well, we just saw this morning that his manager, his agent has fired him. His agent, of course, is Jewish, so that wasn't a particularly smart move on his part. But what about the counter-argument, or what about the argument that says that being silenced is actually counterproductive?
So you see, people say, oh, you're giving them the platform to carry on. But if we take a stand united and we come together and we say, that's it, we're done, Twitter can't ignore that. You know, if it's big celebrities, if it's academics, if it's historians, if it's organizations, they can't ignore it. You know, it's not something that they can just like say, okay, well, let them have their 48-hour tantrum and then, you know, they've got to do something. And yeah, people are going to make the argument, oh, but you're giving the platform to the anti-Semites and whatever. But that silence, you know, silence can be a very, I wouldn't say deadly thing, but it can create a lot of waves. Not saying anything, standing there in solidarity, in quietness, in silence against the anti-Semitism is what could actually, you know, finally create some sort of wave. And the fact that the campaign has gone so big, it's gone viral. Everyone knows about it. It's all over the news. It's not just Jewish news. It's all over secular news. It's all over non-Jewish news. It's all over the mainstream media. So the fact that it's there, and, you know, it was trending for hours and hours and hours and hours over the last few days. So the fact that it's there is that people know about it, and I'm very sure that Twitter knows about it as well. I mean, Chief Rabbi Mervis himself wrote a whole letter to the CEO of Twitter and to Mark Zuckerberg. There's a huge, huge movement here, and I don't think they're going to be able to ignore the fact that we've all gone silent, because we bring them, you know, conversation. We bring them, and it's, you know, it's not gonna fly by them, because they're gonna realize that there's gonna be that this will carry on, and we will carry on doing this kind of stuff if this anti-Semitism is not dealt with.
And when you say, when it says 9 a.m. Monday morning, is that in 10 minutes time? I mean, that's South African time. Whose time is this?
So because it started in the United Kingdom, it seems like it's the United Kingdom, but people are being encouraged from 9 a.m. in their countries.
Okay.
So wherever you are, 9 a.m. in your country, that's when you start it up.
I feel like it's starting
a fast. We already started. Stand with us.
Yeah, I feel like
stand with us.
We've got 10 minutes before the fast starts.
We do.
Like, I feel like
we do. Tisha B'Av's come early, guys.
I know, don't feel like it. And that's the other thing. Jews, we normally do this kind of thing and we end with food. Like, who's catering for this?
You should have brought snacks to studio.
Howard, do you have any ideas?
I don't know. Well, it's like, and what does one eat at the end of a Twitter fast? These are questions. These are things.
Biscuits, chips, and birds. I don't know.
Absolutely. So
I think the good thing would be when the fast is over, we all just tweet food.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We're going to do that. That's a great
recipes.
Idea.
Recipes. That's exactly what it is. So are you seeing a widespread support for this in Israel as well?
In Israel, there's a lot of the pro-Israel NGOs have taken it on. They're definitely joining, and not just in Israel, across the world. We're seeing it in the United Kingdom. We're seeing it in the United States. People are taking this seriously because it's enough. Enough is enough. You know, when do you draw the line? There's all the arguments about free speech, et cetera, but when do you draw the line? Where is that line drawn? You know, when somebody, God forbid, when we have repeats of Poe and Tree of Life Synagogue, is that where we draw the line? Just because people have been inciting, you know, extremists have been inciting anti-Semitism online, where do we draw the line with this?
Yeah, very, very interesting indeed. So we obviously are going to, and it's fascinating, because when I first saw it, I was a bit ambivalent about it. I wasn't sure what to do, and I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to get behind it because I am outspoken on Twitter, and I don't want to stand aside from a community initiative. But now, getting the perspective, it certainly I'm very much encouraged to be part of it, and I would ask our listeners as well to do so. Remain silent or stand silent before 9 a.m. I would tweet something out to say that you're doing that, just so that that it is known, and then stand silent for 48 hours, and let's regroup after that and try and understand what the impact was and how seriously this has been taken. Ilanit Chernik, thank you for taking the time to speak to us. We'd love to hear from you again.